Good afternoon and welcome to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd with you for the entire hour. We've got a terrific lineup for you this afternoon. Thank you for making us a priority. And, you know, it's always good to have a full room full of creative people who are writing and drawing and all that good stuff. Hey, listen, I want to say congratulations to the 2016 Rocket Grant Award recipients. That would be Kat Mahari, our friend Kat Mahari. Also, Laura Isaac, Jarrett Mellenbruch, Randall Jensen, Laura Shipley, Jared Mackin, Don Wilkerson, Melanie Mitchell, Blair Schulman. We love you, Blair. Paul Donnelly, Emily Evans Sloan, we love you, and Anthony Rea, we love the terrific work that you do in the city, and congratulations to all. So that was just announced just the other day, so we'll see some really good things happening here with them, I'm sure. Today on tap, we have Anthony A.O. Orpeza and Mario Mora, Jason Sierra, and Andy Pulizzi. And everyone's, here today, going to talk about comics, Planet Comic-Con, what's happening at the Woodneath Library Center, and Jason Sierra will perform for us later on. I want to welcome first on the show, Mario Mora, who is a full-time freelance illustrator and comic creator. He is the writer and illustrator of the indie comic Pagan Zoetrope, as well as a handful of other self-published poetry and children's books. He is a graduate of UCM and has worked in various studios around the Kansas City area for the last 18 years. Now, on weekends, he mentors students for the Scribblers Company, or Inc., I believe, program in Kansas City, Kansas. He also recently curated the Chicano art exhibit at Hallmark headquarters in Kansas City, Missouri, and in his spare time, he also runs a one-man podcasting effort. Mario will be at Planet Comic-Con this weekend, table 2134. So welcome to Art Speak Radio, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You've got lots going on, but let's talk about your work with the comics and Planet Comic-Con, because it's a huge thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I'd come into it a couple of years ago where I'd always wanted to do comics ever since I was a child.
Uh-huh.
And Planet Comic-Con is probably one of the biggest shows I've ever done, but I've done a lot of the other smaller shows in the area and stuff, but this is one I look forward to just because of the size and scope of it.
Well, and for folks who want more information about Planet Comic-Con Kansas City, it is the region's largest premier comic book and pop culture convention, and it's got about a 17-year history.
Yeah.
It has grown to be the largest show in the Kansas City area. So this weekend it will be held at Bartle Hall in downtown Kansas City. That's like 301 West 13th Street. Friday, it begins at noon to 7, on Saturday from 10 to 7, Sunday 10 to 5, and you can get more information, planetcomiccon.com is the website, and you're going to be at table 2134. Is that the artist alley?
That is the artist alley. Yeah. I'm actually going to be on the corner, which is just a blessing in disguise, so yeah.
Yeah, it's huge. In fact, off the website, I wrote down that about 54,000 people attended last year, but I think the number was higher, you were saying, wasn't it?
I'm thinking so, yeah.
Yeah. So, I looked at your website, which is the artisanrogue.com, and there's so much that you do through that website, comics and books. You have wearables, T-shirts, keychains, all of that, art reproductions, book accessories, original art, and so on. So let's talk about all of that that you do.
Sure. it's one of those things where I've always been one of those kind of people that maybe it just stems from having to have a do-it-yourself aesthetic ever since I was young, but I've always liked tinkering and doing things and doing stuff on my own. So it never really dawned on me to do any of this stuff by trying to farm it out. It was something I always wanted to do, and I love learning every process of it. The shirts, I'm hand in hand with whoever is creating them and screen printing them, and the same for all the other elements. It's all, if I'm not writing it and publishing it, I'm drawing it or painting it or creating it or building it. Everything. I mean, even down to the studio that I do at home. for my podcasting that I'm working on now. I'm working on a sound booth for that and that sort of thing, and that's, you know, it's a culmination of things. I like to do a lot of stuff.
You do. You do. And I like, off the website, I pulled this off. I've had people, I'm quoting you, I've had people ask me before about the various pack-ins that I do with my comics. It's kind of an odd mix of reasons on how it came about. And you go on to say, when I was a kid, I was a sucker for promotional add-ons or packed-in extras in my sugar-infused cereals and all of that sort of thing. So it makes sense that you have so many things that are grouped together that you know you can purchase.
Yeah.
And because of your interest and that sort of experience, let's talk about the Pagan Zoetrope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Pagan Zoetrope. Okay. First of all, the name is sort of a non sequitur, and the whole concept. Real quick story on it was I had an instructor, a dear beloved friend of mine who's since passed, Mr. John Lynch, who had, at one point in time he used to remark jokingly that we were a bunch of pagans, you know, that sort of a thing.
Uh-huh.
But I took that term, that idea and memory never left me, mm-hmm. and I took that with the concept of an animation wheel. An older animation wheel is actually called a zoetrope,
right.
And it's a series of, for those of you out there that don't know, it's a series of limited images that one of the earliest versions of it actually had a man on a horse riding. It's just mm-hmm. that loop mm-hmm. is what it is. So mm-hmm. that's where the name came from. But yeah. the basis of the story is it's a semi-biographical take on my years in college, but interpolated with new characters.
Also, I want to mention that on your website, Daisy's Rainy Day Doldrums, which I really had a connection with that because I know that as a really well-rounded human being, you have a heart for abandoned and abused animals.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think you do some work with that.
I do.
So that kind of spoke to me because it was really just a sweet, you know, story about Daisy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So on the website, Daisy's Rainy Day Doldrums, Pagan Zoetrope, Days Gone By, Volume 1, mm-hmm. Rogue Words, Volume 1 and 2. And this is something that you write and illustrate.
Yeah, all of the publications I mm-hmm. do are that. The Rogue Words effort was actually born of it was actually kind of a weird situation where I had some downtime, and I used to hang around Union Station and meet a lot mm-hmm. of people and stuff, and I was really influenced. That was the first volume was actually a six-month project where, as strange as this sounds, I was going up to random people and asking them their stories or what was going on and just being friendly, you know,
yeah.
sharing a smile
yeah.
with somebody. Every single work of poetry in there and the illustrations born of it were from interactions with random people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
how it came about.
I like that. You know, everyone has a story.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you're lucky if they do share it with you because some people
are
a bit more private.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There were some that were like a little standoffish. But
also, first in a new series of creations by you, the Artisan Rogue, Age, Beauty, and Innocence Lost, which is a collection of 19 all-new illustrations and 20 new original stories in works of prose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When did that come out?
That one was about a year ago as well, too. And some of those books have already, you know, since I do self-publication, it was a limited run. A lot of those sold out, and they're mm-hmm. being recompiled into new editions, mm-hmm. new volumes.
Mm-hmm.
So some of that information is going to be updated soon.
So I'm talking to Mario Mora, who is going to be at Planet Comic Con this week. And Mario is an illustrator, writer, voiceover artist. There's a lot that you do. You know, I don't have to tell you. Your website, theartisanrogue.com,
mm-hmm.
is where you can find the books and comics and all of that. Also, you're on. You have a Facebook?
I just have my own private Facebook at this point in time.
Yeah. Looking forward to this weekend at Planet Comic Con.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, yeah. How many years have you been participating?
You know, it's weird. About 2 years ago, I kind of took a creative dive, and I almost kind of got out of the whole comic thing.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. And then this year, I'm coming back to it. But prior to that, I'd been doing it for quite a few years, about five, six years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, you know, had an attack of common sense and decided to come back.
Yeah.
So
You know, and for people who aren't really familiar about with Planet Comic Con, that there's celebrity guests that will be attendance from TV and film. There's an evening with Kevin Smith.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you guys really good friends? Are you?
No. Oh, God. I wish I could claim that. I wish I could claim that little hook into Hollywood, but no, I don't have that.
And, of course, Stan Lee's going to be there.
Yeah, that's going to be a trip.
There's sci-fi speed dating, portfolio reviews, and panels that people can attend.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Planet Comic Con features creators from the world of comic books, animation, novels, games, and other favorite fan media. So are you going to dress up?
Yeah, no, not this year. I'm not.
You almost said yes.
I almost said so, yeah. Yeah, no, but yeah. No, not this year.
Yeah. So what advice do you have to someone who's interested in creating comics or wants to develop a character? What sort of advice would you lend that person?
Really, I have two bits of advice.
Uh-huh.
The first one is just start doing it.
Yeah.
I was really blown away by seeing some younger kids really taking that initiative, and there are kids out there now that they're starting to attend some of these shows that I've done prior, and they've got these little stapled together kind of hand-drawn comics that they're or you know, roughly printed ones that they're putting out there. I have so much admiration and respect for that, and that's the thing. It doesn't matter what age you are.
Yeah.
Just give it a shot, you know. And the other thing is, whether you're writing or drawing or editing, coloring, do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
At least 15 minutes every day. If you don't, your skills are going to regress, and you'll put stuff to the side.
Mario, when did you first have an interest? When did you first realize, you know, I want to do this? I mean, were you a young boy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, art in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
My father was in the service, so actually my first three formative years, we were living in Aviano Air Base. But the very first time I saw an artist working, it was a plein air artist. And he was in Venice, and he was painting, and I was stunned because there were people giving him money, and that struck me. I was like, I can do this and make money.
Yeah.
But later on, when I got into comics, I started meeting more of them and stuff like that, and that's how it came about. I had friends that were getting into the industry and liking it.
Well, you know, we were talking in the green room before we came on air. What are you looking for in the future? You know, I had mentioned some audiobooks.
Yes.
Is that something that
I'd love to do
happen?
Something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to, you know, whether it's, you know, one-man sort of performance thing where, you know, I get to stretch my range and do, you know, some vocal gymnastics or get together a group of local actors, which, you know, if any of you out there listening and would love to get involved with that, hey, you know, let's talk. But, you know, that's kind of along the line of what I'm thinking, you know. But as far as beyond that, I would like to just keep on doing what I'm doing. You know, I'm on a good road now, so people keep supporting me and my creations, and that'd be great.
That's terrific. Upcoming events that you're going to be participating
in? Yeah. Well, definitely down the road there's going to be KCCC, which is the other big show here in town. KC Zine Con, wonderful independent show.
Yeah, yeah. Last year it was in Uptown, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. They're moving there. I forget exactly where they're moving to, but sign-ups are still available. They're filling up pretty quickly, but that's such a great show.
Do you happen to know the website or contact information?
It's kczinecon.com, I believe, and they got a Facebook page as well, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's run by some great people, man. I love that show. And it was definitely a wake-up call for me.
And it's gotten bigger, you say?
It is getting bigger, yeah. There's more interest.
Well, you know, I think For a lot of us, well, I shouldn't speak for a lot of us, but for me growing up, you know, when I think about comics, I think about Archie and Jughead and the you know, stuff that I read as a kid, you know, growing up. But it's much more sophisticated, in a sense. I mean, in terms of maybe characters and stories and development and even merchandising.
Oh, very much so. But yeah, it's funny you bring up Archie because he's even seen a resurgence recently.
Really?
You know? Oh yeah. Like if you pick up some of the new titles, which, you know, I kind of ignored them for a little while, but there are some fantastic artists and fantastic storylines. Mm. They've really reinvented what Riverdale was and all that sort of thing. The characters are still there, but they've got a new modern aesthetic to them.
Huh.
You know, a lot more. There are more characters in there that they're bringing in that are LGBT and multicultural.
Yeah.
Even more so than they did. I mean, they did it right to begin with.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, and it just seemed to, you know, the characters, we all kind of could connect with, at least I could, you know, growing up. But are they going to be so different from what my connection was with them. I mean, there was, what, Big Ethel, of course.
Right, the big awkward tall girl. Yeah.
So are they going to redraw her so that she's not so clunky? And
no. You know, I was actually surprised. The artists that have taken, you know, their spin on it, they've still kept to the classic look of it. You know, I mean, Archie, just he doesn't look so howdy-doody. You know, he looks a little bit more, you know, maybe a little too Dawson's Creek for my flavor. But, you know, but Jughead Jones was, you know, that was my man. You know, back then.
Yeah.
And he still is. And he's still drawn the same way, same acerbic and yet intelligent way of speaking. So,
that's
yeah.
fun. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. But in the meantime, PlanetComicCon.com is the website.
Yes.
And then your website is?
TheArtistInRogue.com.
Yeah,
right. That's the primary hub where you can find everything and anything else I do.
Right in front of me. Thank you so much, Mario Mora. You know what? I know we're going to hear more from you, so stay in touch.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for having me on.
You bet. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak after this. ArtSpeak Radio, that is. And you're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Floyd. I'm your host. And next up, we have the wonderful Andy Politzian. I don't know if I ever say that right. Is it fast enough?
You do. You just have to have some confidence in yourself.
Politzian. She's a Story Center Program Manager at the Woodneath Library Center, which is located at 8900 Flintlock Road. And you can talk about some upcoming events. And their website actually is mystorycenter.org. So welcome, my friend.
Hello, Maria. Good to see you again.
Always a treat to see you. I know there's a lot of things going on, but there's a special event that's happening this evening, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we are so fortunate. In addition to all of the programming that we do to teach people about story crafting, we are able to bring in authors periodically, thanks to our good friends at Rainy Day Books.
Yeah.
And this month, next month, even into July, we've got several really great authors coming to visit. Tonight we're featuring Robin Murphy, and Robin is a local, but also a contributor to a really exciting new collection called Eat, Pray, Love Made Me Do It, which I really love that title. I think for anybody who read Eat, Pray, Love, we all had a crazy thought.
Yeah.
And this essay collection was really a challenge by the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, to her fans. Tell me what crazy things this crazy book made me do. And she picked her 47 favorites, and it's been pulled together into a new collection for the 10th anniversary.
Wow. Now, is that going to be available for tonight's event?
Yes. We will have copies of the book, but we also have Robin coming in to do a reading, and we're hopefully going to have a really fun discussion on what a great travel essay is composed of. And, you know, share some of our own crazy stories. I think everybody had a moment when they read that book or saw that movie.
And what time will this begin?
That will begin tonight at 7 o'clock. And that is at the Woodneath Library Center. Mm-hmm. Thank you for giving the address. We're in North End, Kansas City, near Liberty. I think that's going to be about an hour. And there will be copies of the book on hand as well. And then we've got another couple of similar events coming up in June. Two that I am equally excited about. We're bringing Dorothea Benton Franken. And she's so known and such a lovely lady. I've had the good fortune of meeting her before, and she's very charming and funny. She is a very popular author of women's fiction, and she's going to talk a little bit about the craft as well, what it's like to make your way through traditional publishing. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people who are struggling to get their foot in the door, part of it is just understanding about that author-agent-editor relationship. So she's going to shed some light. And then we are featuring another Kansas City local on June 29th, and that's Judith Fertig.
Oh, terrific. Yeah, she's awesome.
I love her. Yes. Yeah. I'm a kitchen tinkerer, so I have enjoyed her cookbooks over the year. About a year ago, she dipped her toes in the water of fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be helping her to debut her second work of fiction. It's called The Memory of Lemon. And these are all at 7 p.m., all at our facility.
Yeah, and mystorycenter.org.
That's correct, mystorycenter.org. Yeah. That'll lead you to all of the author events, but also the workshop programming that we do for people who are interested in learning.
Mm-hmm.
There's also links to a lot of the resources that we have available, which some of them are very pragmatic.
And you have book groups and just a little bit of something for every age group, right?
I hope so, yeah. We do a book group specifically for writers called Read reading for writers, mm-hmm. very much based on Anne Lamott's Bird by Bird, Stephen King's axioms. You know, if you want to read or write well, rather, you have to read well. So we do that. But we also have fun fiction book clubs. My favorite is Novelty. And instead of assigning a book, we just get together and talk about what we've read lately. And we try and pitch it to other people in the group. It's a blast. That group just keeps getting bigger and louder, and I love it.
See, I like that because it's like I just kind of fake my way through. It's like, yeah, I read the book. Just kind of like...
I want to see the statistics on book clubs. Everyone loves to come. Everyone loves to participate. Of course, we love things like Chardonnay. But, you know, actually reading the book is a challenge for some people, especially once you get past that first book. So this is a way to sort of turn the book group on its head and still encourage people to just be fanatics, you know, to be fans for fiction. Yeah. We want people to come and advocate for books they love and turn us on to more things for us to read. Very selfish.
You know, and you've got probably a lot of different events going on for the summer because, you know, that's when a lot of the kids are out, you know, from school.
Yeah. We like to joke. It's like Game of Thrones. Summer is coming. our summer reading program actually started this week. It started on Monday officially, and it runs through June 31st. But at our branch in particular, of course, there are 31 Mid-Continent locations.
That's crazy.
But our branch, we do 16 to 17 story times per week, and those are based on toddler, preschool, and baby story times. But we also do a family story time once a month. We have a book club just for kids. We have a regular Thursday night program just for teens, and then we try to pack in some things for adults as well. But summer ends up being very much for families and kids, as it should be. They're out of school.
Well, that the library itself just lends itself to some just really wonderful things that take place in the library, readings, performances, book groups and that sort of thing.
Well, and we have, sometimes we forget to brag, but we have a great partnership with the National Storytelling Network. Definitely a feather in the cap of Kansas City that they chose Kansas City and moved their organization here. In the summer, they are having their conference again in July, speaking of fun conferences. the National Storytelling Network's conference is July 21st through 24th. And we are definitely big supporters of that. We'll have a heavy presence there. We love the craft of spoken word stories. It's, you know, the oldest form of holding on to your history. And you really wouldn't have a lot of the digital storytelling that we're so excited about, podcasts, even the written form, if we didn't first figure out how to attract people and engage them with story.
And, you know, it's really interesting when I talk to people about storytelling. Well, I can't tell a story. Well, everyone has a story to tell.
Do.
You know, if you ask your grandparents or your mother or other relatives, you know, what it was like to grow up or, you know, what do you think about this or that, there is a story just waiting to be told.
Story. You know, when people tell me, oh, you know, I'm interested in supporting you, helping you, promoting you, but I'm not a storyteller, I ask them to tell me a frustrating travel story because everybody's got one of those. And that's when the comedian and the dramatist comes out in all of us. If you've ever been, you know, shuffled through the airport and waited in a long line and had your flight canceled, suddenly you have a flair for narrative.
Well, and I know that in other locations, actually, through the Mid-Continent Public Library, there is a genealogy center where you can check out an audio recorder, digital recorder.
You can do that at multiple locations.
Okay.
But genealogy is always worth the trip. They're in Jackson County, Kansas City proper as well, on Lee Summit Road, and it is this spectacular 50,000-square-foot building. And the first time I ever walked through, you know, like the people who say I'm not a storyteller, I said, well, I'm not really a genealogist.
Mm-hmm.
And the librarian at the time took me into one of the climate-controlled rooms, you know, like a vault. It felt very
special.
She
kind of beat you up a little bit, didn't she?
Absolutely. She pulled a yearbook off the shelf that had a photo of my great-grandmother in it, who was not born in Kansas City and lived in Oklahoma. It's amazing what they can find in short order. So you can really find out a lot about yourself and your family, the history of the area that you've always lived in, or the history of the area that your family and ancestors have moved from. But part of that process is really having an output. So we have a program called Tell Me a Story. And people can sit down in a recording studio, they can do an interview with a family member or someone they're curious about, and they can leave with a copy of that.
And I love that. Mm-hmm. You know, because as our relatives grow older, you know, and they love to tell the stories, you kind of miss out, you know, on what it was like, you know, for them at a certain age in their lives and all that. I just love that.
Yeah.
But there's so much happening in libraries nowadays.
Doesn't it make you happy?
Yeah. You know, I'm a dork. I love. But you know what I miss is the card catalog.
I know. And you know what's hilarious? We have some really brilliant people who work in our marketing department, which is maybe the most boring thing ever to brag about. But they're great people. And one of our marketing department employees put a picture up on our Facebook page, the main Facebook page, of a card catalog and said, "Who remembers this?" And it went viral. It had something like a million likes in 24 hours. Everybody misses the card catalog.
Yeah.
Until they use a card catalog, and then they're really excited about the computer interface where you can find everything in 15 seconds.
Yeah, life. It changes.
It does. It does. It'll get you.
So, again, I want to remind people that I'm talking to Andy Paloutsian. She's the Story Center Program Manager at Woodneath Library Center at 8900 Flintlock Road. And tonight's special event is the Story Center Speakers Series featuring Robin Murphy. So she'll be there tonight and signing books.
Signing books, talking about her travels, reading her essay from the collection Eat, Pray, Love Made Me Do It, and hopefully cracking everybody up and making us all think a little bit more about how we qualify those experiences and which ones we should start putting down on paper.
I'm sure it's going to be packed. Is it wise to make a reservation?
It is an excellent idea, particularly with the workshops. The workshops tend to fill up every single time. With these author events, I can almost always accommodate somebody.
Yeah.
But it's a good idea to visit mystorycenter.org. Every one of the programs are listed there. There's a very convenient shiny blue button that says register that'll take down your three or four pieces of information and get you on the list.
And for folks that are want to talk to someone on the phone, do you have a number you can
answer? We absolutely do. You can call the branch. It's 816-883-4900.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Andy, for coming in. Please come back.
I will. I always will. I love listening to you. Thank you so much for having us.
You bet. Terrific things happening in the library tonight. So we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. And I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. This is ArtSpeak Radio. I'm here in the studio with some terrific guests. And next up, we have Jason Sierra. Jason, you know what? Your name has changed so many times. I don't know whether to call you Chico Sierra, Chico Capitan, Sierra. You're just Jason to me, unless you tell me otherwise.
I think most people call me Chico now, but, I mean, it's not like a preference. It's just what happens.
Yeah, I want to say to our listeners that Jason grew up in El Paso, Texas, and he began crossing borders early, crossing back and forth between Mexico and the United States and being Mexican-American himself. You learn that sometimes borders can be fixed and severe, but oftentimes they are blurry or even non-existent. Jason uses different mediums of expression, working in commercial art, graphic design, illustration, poetry, and music. He hosts the Drink and Draw at the Mini Bar the last Wednesday of every month from 7 to 10 p.m., and his pop poetry book is due out in August through Prospero's. Currently, your work is at The Bite and Maddie Rhodes, and Jason's website is chicosierra.com. Welcome.
Thanks.
All of that, and welcome. And I want to say he's also a member of the Latino Writers Collective. But, you know, you do so many things so well.
I try to do them. Okay.
I have to say nice things.
Yeah.
No, you know, Jason and I are old friends. He's brought his guitar with him, and are you now beginning to write new music?
I'm always writing songs. It's like music is something to sort of do on the side. It's not like a regular thing I do. Mm-hmm. I'll play shows and occasionally when I'm asked or if given the opportunity, but it's not like something I'm pursuing like professionally.
Yeah.
It's like my art is, you know, I'm constantly working on that or like the poetry book and all my writing. It's sort of like cathartic. It's just always there. And I'll write songs constantly. I've recorded a few, but never like done anything.
What is the title of your poetry book that's coming out in August? And that's just a couple of
It's in August, and I haven't actually worked out a title yet. We're still working through editing and that whole process. So coming up with a name is like I haven't even thought about it yet.
About, you know, just calling it Dedicated to Maria.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's been a very popular series, and it's given a lot of local writers the opportunity, you know, to share the written work and to, you know, for people to attend and purchase their books and listen to their words. So I think, yeah. You know, congratulations to you.
Thanks.
You want to play a song for us?
Sure. Like I said, it's not like I write songs I don't really work
sure.
on, so it's not like titled.
That's okay.
So I'm just going to go for it.
Okay.
When you're spending your gold, girl, won't you spend some for me? Well, I'll be calling you home, girl. You'll be calling me mystery, mystery. Soft like water was the day, hard like a stone every time you walk away. Soft like the skin I felt on you, hard like my head when you're trying to push on through. Vatos on your block, they like to spit, they like to talk. Ooh, oh, oh. One by one they'll fall in line when they see your little hand in mine, hand in mine. Soft like water was the day, hard like a stone every time you walk away. Soft like the skin I felt on you, hard like my head when you're trying to push on through. Spoonful of sugar and a mouthful of spit. You always knew you were my number one wish. My heart like the ocean, its waves in commotion. Soft like water was today, hard like a stone every time you walk away.
Beautiful. Gosh, that was great. With your music, is it easy to come up with the lyrics, being a writer?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different thing. Like, everything I do is sort of free form. Like, I'm not... And I've tried to become more disciplined, especially with writing poetry, but
yeah.
Everything is just like spur of the moment. I'll pop, something will pop in my head, like a line,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll just start and then, you know, and sort of piece out a song through that. Like, so I'll have one line and then I'll just sort of try and follow that with other stuff. And, you know, some of it's, I mean, I think with songs, it's easier to like, you get a bunch of crap, you know, like
mm-hmm.
filler.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier to fill a song with just, like, you know, anything. And when
yeah.
I write poetry and stuff, I try to streamline that process. And but, yeah, writing songs is, I think it causes me to focus a little more because I have to have structure around the music.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah. Yeah. So. I want to ask you about the drink and draw at the minibar. Is that located, what, about
3810 Broadway's
yeah.
address.
Yeah. You know, I have to say, that used to be the home of BJ's. Mr. Boyd's aunt and uncle owned it at one time,
oh, wow.
and it was like, yeah, the fun place. But now it's the minibar.
Yeah, yeah.
And so drink and draw, what sort of things will you draw? Do you have...
Well, it's just like we're just going to have like butcher paper on the tables.
Uh-huh.
We'll have like different like markers and,
uh-huh.
and pencils.
It's very informal.
Yeah,
in
it's super
words.
Like
yeah.
kindergarten, man, like just having stuff out and you can have a beer. And I'm hoping to get a lot of different artists in there just
uh-huh.
to like hang out, collaborate
yeah.
like freely, no sort of like in, like no agenda
yeah.
hanging out.
Just kind of make it up as it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good. So do you have another song for us?
Yeah, sure. I'll talk.
Terrific.
Drop like a stone
this river loud, I'm drowning. Back in that deep dark that I was found in. When there's nothing to hold, and the water is cold, it's cold. Yeah, you've got it all. From summer to fall, to fall. And that boy you love most, well, he's not just a ghost, a ghost. Thought I was blowing these kisses at you, but I was shooting for the moon. Guess I was too fast, too soon. I just wanted you to know, oh, that I love it, that I love it, that I love it. So, so, so. But you've got it all. From summer to fall, fall. And that boy you love most, well, he's not just a ghost, a ghost. When the pills don't kick in, will you ask me back in again? When you learn to see, see. Will you ask me to leave, leave? Cause you've got to fall. From summer to fall, fall. And that boy you love most, well, he's not just a ghost, a ghost. It's a crying shame to never learn my name. It's a crying shame to never learn my name.
Terrific. Thank you. Thank you so much.
No problem.
You know, I want to remind folks, you're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. I'm with Jason Sierra. Your work currently is at the Bite. That's at the City Market?
Yeah, right next to the Taste of Brazil.
Right. And at Maddie Rhodes for the Chicano Voices exhibition. Mm-hmm. I can't remember when that comes down. I should have. Look, there's a poster over there. But
I think it's for one more month.
Yeah. Very good. ChicoSierra.com is your website. Mm-hmm. You know what? Thank you so much for coming in, and good luck on the pop poetry book that's due out in August at Prospero. So send us some information, maybe come back and read.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Terrific. We'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. You're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd. I love you, Anthony Orpeza. He just made the sign of the cross at the microphone. I love that. I love that. And I can tell you folks that he loves comics. He wanted to create his own someday, and he didn't know how much work it would be. And in his own words, Anthony says, comics for me are a great mix of art, story, and graphic design. I now know the effect a well-drawn comic book and comic book characters can have on a book and a story. He's striving for a better look and a better story through each and every publication. He also says it makes it tough for the studio that your book is about a Latin main character. It's bilingual, it's different, amigo man. Anything different will succeed if the story is good. My goal is to create great stories and combine them with great art. With that combo, the books will succeed in all languages. So welcome, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So you're going to be at Planet Comic Con too.
Right on. Booth 1234.
Artist Alley, and that's Friday through Sunday, May 20th through the 22nd. And again, that's at 301 West 13th Street in Kansas City, Missouri. So take us up to the here and now, because last time you were here on ArtSpeak Radio, I was out of town.
Right, right.
And you were working on some sports murals.
You're talking about my Royals artwork
yeah.
that I was doing, and then the upcoming possible mural that I have at the college basketball experience right now, that they're going to have a little opening this Saturday.
Terrific.
With the UMKC coach and the mascot. Yeah.
Do you have a website for that?
Yeah, AOArt5. For the for my sports art, for my character artwork, sure.
And that really turned out beautifully.
Thank you. Know,
I've seen images of it. Very colorful, very energetic.
Thank you. Yes. No, I had some help from a guy from Arkansas. John Woodard came in, and my daughter also helped with some of the tweaking and whatnot. But a lot of people came together to help me, from the scaffolding to suggestions on paint and primer and what to use, certain techniques and certain tools. So, yeah, it came together pretty well. And the staff there at the CBE, top-notch. They're really good.
Yeah. Team. But, you know, the other thing that's happening is the new book release, The Big Tuna Luna,
yeah.
which is introduced in issue one. So talk about that.
Yeah, The Big Tuna Luna, that's our newest villain to hit the streets of the city of Del Oro, which is my fictional name for Kansas City. In Kansas City, Missouri, you have East Del Oro and West Del Oro. And, yeah, no, The Big Tuna Luna, who is our radioactive, basically the king of the sea, but it's Midwest, so it's the king
it
of the rivers.
Theo
yeah,
Dark.
But this story I've had it written for about 3 years, and I got some help from my buddy Lorenzo Lozana out of St. Louis and John Woodard from Arkansas to come together and knock this thing out in a pretty quick fashion. So we're really excited. We got part one is going to be released this weekend.
Wow.
And then part two will be at the Kansas City Comic Con in August, if we can get it all together. Yeah.
So that's got to be really exciting.
Oh, I mean, yes. Yes.
I mean, your comics are terrifically written and illustrated alone, and now you've got Tuna Luna.
Yeah,
we've
got the Big Tuna Luna.
Yeah.
We're hoping to come out with a robot story next year that we have, which is connected to the Latin community some way, somehow. Mm-hmm. Don't want to let that out right now. And then a handful of other villains that I have created. It's just the trying to get the books written, like you mentioned before, trying to write them the best I can. And I'm not a trained writer. When I grew up, I didn't really read a whole lot of comic books.
Yeah.
I love the artwork.
But don't you write what you want to read? I mean,
yes.
Isn't there something?
Well, there's a combination of two things. One, I love being able to write my own stories with my own characters, because I drew them up, I created them, so I have an idea what they would say, how they would say it in certain situations. And another cool thing, which is also a challenge, is writing for different audiences. Because my book's geared toward preschool to eighth grade.
Right.
So depending on what story I'm writing for what audience, I have to be able to adjust the dialogue. And so that's kind of a cool challenge. And at the end, after all the sweating, whining, and all the laughs, I get to say, you know, it's done, and it's mine, and let's see how they like it.
And your comics are bilingual.
They turn out, first run or two are English only. And then once we totally finish the editing and get the first print run through, then we some of the money that we make, hopefully, goes to translating. So then they turn out being twice as thick, and they cost twice as much to print. Yeah.
Wow. But, you know, it's worth it.
Absolutely.
And I can say AmigoMan.com is Anthony's website, and you have another?
Strong Avenue Studios, which is basically mostly just a showcase of the books, but AmigoMan.com has a lot more. And then also the Facebook account, the Amigo Man Comic Books, has latest up to date, all the information in the Twitter account, Strong Avenue Studio, and then at Amigo Man Creator is the other Twitter account. Yeah.
You're hugely popular and generate a lot of excitement, I think. You know, not only in the community, because it is a bilingual, it's the first Latin, you know, sort of comic.
Yeah, I think it is like the first bilingual comic book character out of the Midwest. And I know when I went to San Francisco a few years back, they were kind of surprised that somebody out of Kansas City, or as they say, out of Kansas, Kansas City had a bilingual comic book, because they've never been exposed to the kind of diversity we have here, and which floored me.
Yeah.
But now I know that there's a few over there that are starting to make theirs bilingual, which is kind of cool. So, but we're going to still keep doing it English, Spanish. We're going to do it for a wide range of grades. And again, for me, it's not only just creating the comic books; it's seeing the effect it has on the kids, on top of helping them or helping I guess all ranges of school or grade levels in reading, mm-hmm. in both languages. Mm-hmm. So if it can help promote reading, make something kind of cool, fun to read, I'm all about it.
And I think that's one of your messages. When you go to the schools to visit and you want to stir up some excitement and some interest in reading and the arts.
Yes. And it depends on the audience again. Yeah. The first graders, second graders, they love the coloring. They love the artwork. They love seeing the original artwork. Fourth, fifth graders, they're about a little bit more of the story. And then the sixth, seventh, eighth graders, they're all about the story and zombies. And it's a whole different deal. But yes, cool thing about what I do is I can touch on all of those, and I just need to know what my age group, what grade I'm talking to, and let's go at it.
And you know what would also generate some excitement?
What's that?
You dressed up as Amigo Man. Come on, it'd be fun.
There's no
way. Come on.
There's no, Amigo Man, first of all, Amigo Man is not me. Okay, Amigo Man is like, was going to be in a gang. I was technically never going to be in a gang. Yeah. The guys I hung out with when I was a kid, some may have called up that we weren't a gang. Yeah. And then he actually became or was on the in the process of becoming a lawyer. So he was accepted to law school. So that means he did great in college. I did not do great in college. But and also on top of that, he's really fearless when it comes to fighting and can take a beating. I don't know if I'm going to be able to take the kind of beating or have or could take the beatings that he will be taking in the future books. But
honey, all you have to do is whip out the salsa picante.
There
it's like kryptonite.
No, there's no way I'm going to dress up. You are like the billionth person who said I should be dressing. And on top of that, he's like, you know, 10%, 20% body fat, and there's I'm nowhere close to 10% body fat.
Well, come on, think about this. The Big Tuna Luna, how much fun would that character be?
Oh, I know, I know. Yeah. When I first said his name, I said I've got to create a cartoonish sort of animal character, and I wanted to make a Latin connection, and so it was really weird how when the Big Tuna Luna name hit me. Mm-hmm. And another thing was out of a buddy of mine who I play basketball with. His last name is Luna, and he's kind of a tall guy, and he's kind of a big dude. And that was where part of the idea sprung. So just taking out the thoughts and ideas together, just poof.
Now, if he has fins, he's in.
Yes, that's what I told him. Just and some gills, and you're good to go. Yes.
Tell me how long Omega Man has been around.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I know, you know, when you first started kind of getting some ideas out there, maybe 10 years ago?
No.
Has it been longer?
Yeah, I was coming I graduated in 96 from Rockhurst, so, and I started like 93. So every now and then I'd make a drop over here at Clint's right down the street here, and the shelf didn't have any Latin main character.
Yeah.
So on the way home, the idea came around. So in around 93 or so is when the idea sparked, and I've been chipping away at it ever since. I've quit or attempted to quit a few times, but some way, somehow, if it's not a student saying, hey, I really love the artwork or something, or it's a buddy of mine saying you can't quit, they've pretty much helped me stay on track.
But see, you know, I love that drive that you had. It didn't exist before, so there was definitely a need for it. And, you know, my solution is to create Amigo Man because there was none that existed here.
Thank you. And it's a lot of the positive reinforcement that I get from other artists and other people. My dad was like, you've got to do this or keep doing. He'd wear the T-shirt, even though the T-shirt art wasn't the greatest, he'd still wear that. And so positive reinforcement from students, teachers, librarians, fellow artists.
It
really helps push you. And when you're, you know, when it's 12:31 in the morning and you're thinking, my deadline is coming up because I know if I finish this book, some teachers, who knows, in D.C., Iowa, you know, San Francisco, might be interested in buying this for their kids. So.
Well, and, you know, as I mentioned earlier at Planet Comic Con, that the attendance for last year was over 54,000, you know, people that went to Planet Comic Con. You know, certainly there's a market, an audience, there's something there for
It's a growing audience. Yeah. And for me personally, I love Planet Comic Con. It's just, I don't sell as many books as I like. Right? And a lot of people in Artist Alley don't. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's a way to network, meet other artists, see what they're doing, ask them questions, meet teachers, moms, kids, get some photos.
Great.
Because my deal is and I've been very fortunate, is I get to go to the schools. And so I'll sell some books. I'll sell, in one school, I'll sell more books than I did in two Comic Cons. And I can touch, I can relate and talk to the kids directly versus Comic Con. Comic Con's like, hi, how you doing? 3 minutes here. I got to go talk to somebody here. And parents are trying to shoot the kids through there because some got to get home, you know, whatever it might be.
Sure.
But Planet Comic Con, I've been going there for about 15 years, and I think I missed only one.
Yeah.
But it has grown and become such an awesome spectacle. And this year, again, Stan Lee's going to be there. You cannot. I mean, I'll be in the same building as Stan Lee, and that's pretty cool. So.
Well, you know, you're always just a joy to talk to, and, you know, wish you well with Amigo Man, AmigoMan.com, and your other website?
StrongAvenueStudio.com, and then AOArt5.com.
So any final words before we wrap up here?
We're at booth 1234, and then we will have...
That's easy enough to remember.
Both artists that actually worked on the book. One will be with me. Lorenzo will be with me at my table, and then John Woodard will be at his booth. He's going to kill me for not remembering his booth number, but his name is John Woodard. So thank you for having me. Appreciate
it. You bet. Thank you. I also want to thank, besides Anthony Orpeza, AO, I want to thank Mario Mora, Jason Sierra, Andy Polizian for coming in this afternoon to talk with me. And next week, May 25th, that's like the end of May, we'll have Kansas City's Director of Culture and Creative Services, Megan Krieger, Vladimir Kurstik, Director of the Kansas City Design Center. Also on tap, we'll have writer-publisher Sherry Bouchou of The Little Fig, along with Cassie Allen, who is an illustrator with The Little Fig. And also will be joined by drugstore resident artists Christina Munez and Andrew William Erdrich. So I want to invite you to stay tuned for Jazz Afternoon with Jeff Harshbarger following this program. Please like us on Facebook. You can listen to us online, kkfi.org, and podcasts are available at that same website for download and also on iTunes. So say it with me. Thank you for listening, Art Speak Radio, and honey, I'm coming home.